Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
For the believer, risk is that we know that God is planning something. We just don't know. So yours is to pray, seek God, step out of faith, and believe God for something to take place.
In this week's lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon pointed out that many people shy away from taking risks due to their fears and expectations. Much like a farmer who is overly concerned about the wind and never plants his seeds. Pastor Neil, however, reminds us that while some things in life are a given, as believers, we need to take risks even when times are tough and uncertain. By stepping out in faith, even when the way forward isn't clear, we allow God to work in our lives. His plans for us are ultimately good, so we should take that leap of faith and trust that God will honor our faith. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. Invest your life.
What does it mean to invest your life? It is to live life in a way that you will be an investment. When you die, you should have poured out everything that God put in you. Amen? Don't die full, die empty. Come to that place where you can say that everything God put in me, I give it to humanity. I give it to mankind. Amen. If that will happen, you and I must learn to take risk, because life is full of uncertainties. And chances are you would want to give up and not take risks. But this morning God says, I have created you, through the words of Solomon, that you must learn to take risks. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let's look at the first six verses. I'll read from the New Century Version if that's okay. Are you in Ecclesiastes 11? Chapter 11. We will start from verse 1. We'll read just six verses. Invest what you have, because after a while, you will get a return. You see, this verse says, invest what you have. Traditional verses would say, cast your bread upon the waters. Now, this is one text that is so difficult to interpret, because bread is what you eat. It's important to you. So he says, cast it upon the waters. It is like, give out your bread to those who need it. So a school of thought or a certain level of theologians look at it that way. I've told you, I don't read commentary. The Holy Spirit can comment himself, right? However, if you look at the text very carefully and keep going down, you notice that he's talking about investment. This verse is not about money. Tell the person sitting next to you, it's not about money. So those of you who are listening, oh, investment, they say we should go and it's not about money. Because in chapter 5, Solomon had already said that money without God means what? Nothing. So that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about investing your life, your own life. Invest what you have, because after a while, you will get a return. Verse 2, invest what you have in several different businesses. The other version says that give a portion to a 7 or 8, all right? Because you don't know what disaster might happen. If clouds are full of rain, they will shower on the earth. A tree can fall to the north or south, but it will stay where it falls. Those who wait for perfect weather, please underline those words. Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds. Those who look at every cloud will never harvest crops. I like it in the King James. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the cloud will not what? Plant. Verse 5. You don't know where the wind will blow. And you don't know how a baby grows inside the mother. In the same way, you don't know what God is doing or how he created everything. Plant early in the morning and work until evening, because you don't know if this or that will succeed. They might both do well. Amen. Now, let me give a summary of it before we delve into the lesson today. Solomon is saying that sometimes due to imaginary or anticipated difficulty, people will excuse themselves from taking risk. Do I need to repeat that? Sometimes due to imaginary, because the things you are imagining, let me ask you, if anytime you make a friend, they betray you, you would assume that anybody else coming close to you is going to betray you. That's imaginary, because the other person you are making the assumption about has actually not what? Betrayed you. So because of the anticipated difficulty or the imaginary difficulty, people will excuse themselves from taking risks. What Solomon called risks in the Old Testament is what we call faith in the New Testament. It is risks because you are by yourself. It is faith because you are taking risks with God as the person behind you. Are you with me? I need you to understand those basic things. So the verses we read, you notice that Solomon makes two examples. First of all, he talks about a merchant who will cast his bread, all right, or will send his goods over the seas. Then secondly, he talks about a farmer. Notice what he's saying here. When a merchant who trades over the sea sends their valuable goods elsewhere, they can lose everything. Do you agree? Do you agree they can lose it? Those of you who do shipping, suppose there's bad weather. Everything that is in the ship, you can lose it. So if the merchant looks at the fact that they can lose everything over the sea, they will never send their goods elsewhere to be sold. Are you getting it? Then he goes on to say, a farmer who sows, this farmer must pay attention to the weather. But if he looks at the fact that there's going to be bad rain, he will get stuck in the mud. The animals they use for plowing will be stuck. And then the rain, because you need to have a certain amount of rain. If there's so much than it's supposed to, it will destroy your crops as well. So what he's saying is that just as the merchant and the farmer have to learn how to overcome natural circumstances in order to have a return, the believer must learn to take risks in spite of the difficulties so that we can also receive God's best. You don't receive God's best by sleeping and waking up. You receive God's best by taking risks in life, but it is a risk that is backed by God. So he says, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Let me go through a few of them for you to see. He says, you don't know if it will do well. You don't know how a child grows in the mother's womb. Go and ask all these doctors and scientists. Any doctor in this room? Medical doctor. Everybody go to verse 3. So Solomon is saying in life, there is always going to be some difficulty. For the farmer, it is the clouds. Because farmers sow based on the clouds and the winds. You all remember the story that Jesus told about the parable of the sower. You remember that story? Now he says, a sower went out to sow what? His seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell by among tongues. Now, why? Because whenever they sowed seeds back then, they look at the velocity of the wind and the direction of it. And once they feel it is in its proper order, they throw the seeds up and the wind carries it. So no matter how they sow, because they are throwing it, some will fall by the wayside. Some will fall by the... I just said wayside. Some will fall on good ground. And some will fall among thorns. All right? Yeah. I use that phrase because I'll come back to it when I'm ending. Is that it is some things in life are a given. For the merchant, the idea that there could be a lot of winds and the ship will capsize and he will lose his goods, it is a given because in life stuff happens. Are you with me? Jesus is saying in that verse that whenever you sow, the idea is that some will fall on the wayside kind of heart. It should never stop you by sowing the word of God. But I want us to look at the given, because that's what Solomon is doing. Look at verse 3, because he says, some things in life are, he says, if the clouds are full of rain, they will shower on the earth. You can't stop that. No amount of fasting will stop that. A tree can fall to the north, south, but it will stay where it falls. So he's saying that there are some things in life that are a given. Everybody say a given. And if the farmer or the merchant is going to look at the difficulties of all the things that do happen all the time in life, they will never invest, nor will they sow. Sowing is another form of investment. Because when you sow, you are actually waiting for a return. Are you with me? In the same way, in your own life, if you are not careful, you will always have excuses as to why you are not taking certain steps. It's too much. I can't do it. This is not possible. Uncle died. Mommy died from it. So I cannot overcome it. No. It may have happened. It is a given. But there is something you have the rest don't have. Amen. Now, let me share with you some statistics. I'm trying to push the point that in spite of the given, in some areas, you still do what you got to do. But then you allow difficulties to stop you from the most important areas of life. Statistics tell us that 1 out of every 7 people are going to die by cancer. It is the way it is. That's statistics. Statistics tell us that every 30 minutes, some drunk driver will kill another person. Is that not tragic? Has that stopped you from going on the road? It means you have not observed the cloud in this circumstance. You have not looked at the difficulty of the idea that there could be an accident. Even though you know that, you override it and you drive to work. I know people who don't like flying planes. When they say, oh, can you board a plane? Do you know that death in planes are lesser than death on the road? And the same people will sit in their cars, drive very fast, and be texting at the same time. And they don't want to die. What I'm trying to show you from the picture is that they know the risks are there, that some things are given, yet they still do what they got to do. Are you with me? So let me ask all of you a question. Why not take the risk to really give your life to Jesus? Why do it halfway? Why not take the risk in telling the world about Jesus? At the place of work, you don't care. You will tell somebody about Jesus when work is over. Not when you're on the clock, though. Do it the right way. Husbands and wives, why not take the risk and marry for real? Love the woman for real. Let me ask you. The fact that some dude broke your heart, lady, does that stop you from getting married? I encourage you, if a guy broke your heart, get ready and get married. Because you live in a world of uncertainty, but you must learn to take risk in the midst of uncertainty. The difference between you and the ordinary risk taker is that you have God behind you. Amen. It's like someone who says, my dad raped me when I was a child. So they have absolutely no regard for no man. And now you brought it into marriage. Did your husband rape you? No. Who did? My father or an uncle or some other person. And now somebody else is suffering.
No. Take risk, open your heart, and love this person. And you realize that what you need, they will give it to you. Many of us, I don't know, sometimes even when it comes to relationships, I don't want to deal with this person. I don't want to deal with this person. You are very selfish. That's why you do that. Solomon is saying, listen, some things in life are a given. People are born and people will die. You can run away from that fact. I have seen people who gave birth to a child, you know, this work I do sometimes can be very wrenching. Wake up 1 a.m. in the morning, walk into a hospital room, and only to be shown a clot of blood. And you can see the nails. Everything is formed. And the parents are asking you, can we have a burial service for this child? And they want answers. And at that point, it's not easy to tell them this is a given in life. But Solomon is saying, no, some things are a given. We walked out of that place. Later on, I went back to their home and I told the lady, you are having another one. He says, Pastor, no. You saw, I said, that is not enough basis. If God could give you one that didn't make it, he can give you one that can make it. Take some risk. Take some. Your life must be an investment. You have to pour it out. Stop keeping to your. Now, I want you all to look at your heart like this. Point at it and say, stop looking just to yourself. You did what is called a self-talk. You are talking to yourself. Now that you have heard it, tell yourself, I think I'm going to stop this. Some things in life are a what? They're a given. Because you lost one baby, you will not get pregnant again? No, you should. Because you failed in one venture, so you won't try another venture? We all have lights because Thomas Edison had to fail 750 times. Some of you are so righteous, you don't fail. Really? Truth is, behind closed doors, you are failing all the time. I met somebody who says, Pastor, I hope this church that you have, people don't gossip. I said, don't come here, you go. Because you already started gossiping yourself right now from the way you're talking. I said, where in the world have you seen that there are human beings and they don't gossip? I said, where? I've said this before. Even go to a funeral and people filing past, they're viewing, they're looking at the casket, and they talk about the dead body, let alone the living. Look at their face. They've changed. The mortician didn't do a good work. I want to keep my stuff secret, but it's on Facebook now. Sometimes I wonder what we're looking for. Tell the person sitting next to you, some things are a given. Because one man divorced you doesn't mean another man doesn't like you. But if somebody walk away, you don't go around and then, oh, my world is crashed. Really, which world is that? Take a risk and remarry. You meet a good dude. In fact, when you meet a new one, because of the mistakes of the past, you treat this one better. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be something that hampers you serving the Lord, and something that you can point to that stops you from looking for something new. Some of you, you want a new job. You are tired with the old one. Take a risk and go back to school. Your brains are not that worn out. You will be able to write and pass a new exam. Instead of praying, Father, I pray, I invoke heaven. Speed in the spirit. God doesn't speed things like that. There are things he speeds. He speeds it when he wants to speed it. You cannot make God, we are going to pray for a prayer of acceleration. Where is the box? Everybody come and sow your seed.
May the Lord have mercy on you. If God speaks that, yeah, we will not ridicule that. We'll receive that. But if God hasn't spoken that, let's not say that. Are you with me? Does that mean God cannot act in speed? Yes, he can. Because in one day, God can turn everything around you. But he does it to fulfill his purpose. Not so that you will be happy and tell your enemies, so to speak, that you are a child of God and they are not. If that's what you are thinking, you get that backwards. God, everybody is God's child too. Some things are a given. Tell the person stood next to you, some things are a given. So stop looking for excuses. Invest now your life. Amen. I want you to look at two verses, verse 2 and verse 5. And I want you to underline one particular statement. Read with me, shall we? What does it say? Invest what you have in several different businesses because you don't know. Underline the phrase, you don't know. It means there are uncertainties in life. There are things you don't know. Those who are in business, when they are making business investments, they don't know how. You know how all these finance guys will come around and then they'll wrap you, oh, if you put in this, buy this. Do they know the stock market and how it's going to operate? And sometimes they are so good. I told one of my boys, I said, you've got words. Don't go and do something different. God has created you naturally to use words. So become like marketing something. Just make sure you are not lying along the line, though. But or become a preacher because you can use words. The scripture says, you don't know. Look at verse 5. Read with me, shall we? It says, you don't know where the wind blows. And you don't know how a baby grows inside its mother. In the same way, you don't know what God is doing or how he created everything. You don't. So he's saying that don't allow the things you don't know to stop you because you also don't know what God is planning. So take risks, understanding that God, in his providence, is doing some things not against you, but in your favor. Amen. Is that not what the scripture says? Romans chapter 8 says, and we know that all things work together. We don't know how he's going to do it, but at least we know he will make it work for our good. I want to challenge some of you that you have a unique, God has positioned you uniquely to have influence in certain people's lives. Would you sit them down and talk to them about the end of life and the fact that they need to live for Jesus? Don't be afraid. I know someone is, I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to talk about how we can make investment and make money. Solomon already said money is vain. So that's not what he's saying here. He said, invest your life. And he tells us, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know. He says, don't stop. Take the risks. Move on. Do something. And God is calling you to take risks. I mean a step of faith. For the person in the world, they take risks. Why? Because they have no backing. But you take risks. Because you do not know what God is planning. How many of you know what God is planning? How many of you know what God is planning? I told this story before. I work in an office, and this girl, I know, just doesn't like me for me. It had nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do. I just make her angry. And it's not something I said. Because she showed up the next day, she didn't like me. I was already working there. She kept planning, talking to every boss, kept doing it. One of them warned me, be careful of that girl. She's talking about you. One time I told one of the bosses, you don't need to worry. He says, why? I said, you see, there's a principle in the Word of God I operate by. Please learn to operate by principle, not practices. Did you hear what I just said? Operate by? Not Whenever I teach you, you notice I don't tell you about how to practice something. I only show you the principle. Then you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to do it the way you have to do it. Amen? Amen. So I told him, don't worry. I operate by a principle. I said, anytime you guys give me money in this place, I make sure that the first part of that money goes to my God. And God says, anything that opens the womb is the first, belongs to me. Once I have it, I'll protect the rest. So I told him, sir, whenever I get paid here, I give my tithe and my offerings. It is the first. I've given it to the Lord. So the Lord protects me here. If you're able to fire me, it means God has opened another door. I'm too slow to recognize it. That's why the firing came. If I recognized it earlier, I would have resigned. Yes. Else this world is not true. But God's word is what? It's true. So I took a risk. I approached the lady and I said, I've been told. And the people don't want to be quoted. So by several sources. And I need you to stop. The reason is that there's a slim line between attacking a person and the work God wants the person to do. The two things are very different. For example, all right, it's only an example. If you talk about me and attack me as a pastor, you go scot-free. If God fights because of me, then God has broken his principle. The other person talking is also his child. Are you guys with me? But when your talking passes from the individual and it starts touching the work that individual is being asked to do, now you are fighting God himself. The problem is there's a slim line between crossing over. Once you cross over, God is going to step in. Then sometimes you hear people walk around and say, be careful, don't touch me. It's not about you. It's not about you. It is because the person crossed over from you. Didn't the Bible say we will suffer? So if you are suffering, why should God step in? He already said you will suffer. So suffering is part of the show. Always operate on principle. I said always operate on. And most believers like practices. Always. Everything. Oh, that is how it's done. No. This is what God's word says. Holy Spirit, how should I implement what you have said? I have seen cases where God would speak to people and say that for the sickness this person has, let him take oil and drink it. The truth is, oil, as it is just going to increase your cholesterol. Based on human reasoning, that is stupid. Excuse my... It is important to understand as a child of God, at this point, that living on principle is important. So once I meet somebody else with a similar disease, then I'll tell them, you to go take oil and drink. Is that not what the prophets are doing these days? Oh, God spoke to me one time, I have to use salt. So you to go take salt. No, the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He works in different ways. He can tell one person to drink water to deal with cancer and tell another person to drink mud. I'm not comparing them so easily. What I'm trying to say is that because we don't understand the Bible. Last week, I taught you that the Bible is a book of what? Transformation. Good. It's a book of what? Transformation, not information. So whatever you read out of here must change your life. It changes because you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit to do it. Either you are seeing this as a bag of seed or a book of rules. The Bible is not a book of rules. It is a bag of seeds. God wants you to sow based on certain principles. Have you ever sown mango and reap orange before? Because the principle of what? Sowing and reaping is such that if you sow mango, you reap what? Mango. I want to encourage you, treat the scriptures in its right way.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.